Today's case is about the pre-existing duty rule. And before we jump into our case, I just want to do a quick review of what that rule is. And the basic gist of the rule is, if you promise to do something or give something that you've already promised in a previous contract, then that is not going to count as consideration. And just as a quick example, let's say I owe you $1,000, but I don't want to actually pay that full $1,000. So we make an agreement for me to only pay $500. And after I pay you, you sue me in court for breach of contract for the remaining $500. In that instance, you would win, and I would still owe you $500 because that second agreement that we made to only pay the $500 lacked consideration. I had a pre-existing duty to already pay the $4,000. Okay, let's jump into our case. Today's case is Levine versus Blumenthal, and it took place in the Supreme Court of New Jersey in 1936. And the purpose of this case is just to look at an example of the pre-existing duty rule. Okay, let's jump into the facts. First, on one side of this dispute, we've got a landlord who owns some retail space. And then on the other side of the dispute, we have some business owners, these owners who own a women's clothes shop. And the landlord leases out some of his retail space to these business owners. And this lease goes for 2 years. And for the first year, he's going to charge $175 per month. And then the second year, that rate goes up to $200 a month. And this lease started April of 1931. And for that first year, everything went fine. The business owners paid the landlord the $175. Everything went smooth. But then when it came time to start paying the $200 per month, the business owner said that they couldn't afford it, and that if they do try and pay that, they're going to go out of business. And so they both worked it out, and they agreed on to keep paying the $175 and forget the $200 increase. And the business owners paid it. The landlord accepted that payment, and that went through to the end of the lease. And at the end of the lease, they parted ways. However, after this happened, the landlord decided that he actually wants the full rent payment according to the original agreement. And so he ends up suing for what ends up being about $500. Let's look at the arguments on both sides. So the landlord is saying that this second agreement had no consideration. So when the landlord said that they could just pay $175 a month, that was just like a gift, and there is no binding contract there, and so they still owe him $500, even though they both agreed to do this. Now the business owner, they counter argue by saying, you know, this is during the Great Depression, like it's impossible for them to pay that extra amount, like there's just this hardship going on, and two, the fact that the landlord accepted their payments, like, this whole time, and said it was okay, and said he was okay with it, you know, that should be some sort of defense to this obligation to the original agreement. Okay, so you're the judge, and you have these two people before you arguing, and let's pretend that you have to decide on whether or not you're going to enforce the original agreement, where they had to pay the extra $200 in the second year, or you're going to just enforce the modified contract that happened in the second year. If you're in our Pod Talk group, go ahead and leave a comment and tell me what your ruling is. Okay, let's talk about the ruling. The judge said that there was no consideration in that second agreement. Therefore, the original agreement where the business owners were obligated to pay the $200 per month, that one was still intact. And so the business owners had to pay up that $500 back to the landowner. And so obviously the judge was pretty strict about this. He didn't care that they both agreed on this $175 per month agreement in the second year. And he said, you know, you could have any bit of consideration that could have been given by the business owner to turn this into a valid contract. They could have had an arrangement to pay a little bit earlier, or to do some sort of service, whatever. But they did it. And so according to the rules of consideration and the pre-existing duty rule, there's just no contract. There's nothing I can do about this. So you're probably thinking, you know, this seems really strange. This doesn't seem very intuitive that if two people are in a contract and then midway through they want to modify the terms, why can't they do that? Well, I would just make you, I'd ask the question to you, why would the judge be so strict about this? Is there any potential downside to enforcing the modified contract rather than sticking to that original agreement? I'm going to go ahead and add my thoughts on Pod Talk. If you have the app, I'd like to hear your thoughts too. But I'll just go ahead and leave you with that question to try and think about what potential downsides there would be to always enforcing modified contracts. And what you'll see is, as we go into these next cases, you'll see what the tension is. You'll see why, well, maybe it's not a good idea to enforce these mid-contract agreements when there isn't consideration on one side. So that's what I'll leave it at that for this episode. Thank you for joining me. I'll talk to you next time.